With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Brother 22 Roundtable Podcast for Saturday night. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and we are here today to talk about the legacy of these Big Brother All-Stars. Joining me is Chantal. How are you doing, Chantal?
Doing not too bad. I love talking about Big Brother, so I'm really happy to be here talking about it with you two.
Yes, also with me is Jason. How are you doing, Jason?
Doing good. Can't wait to get into the, the national case study of privilege and how it works.
Okay, there we go.
I mean, really, I feel like, where are the scientists to study this?
It's us. We're here.
I guess so. Yeah. look, we are scientists, if you think about it.
We analyze.
In a way, we are basically geniuses and scientists all.
Social anthropologists,
there you go.
Studiers of human nature.
Within a game format.
Yeah, that's what when people ask me what I do, I tell them, I podcast about humanity.
I mean, it's true, to be fair. That's what I love about it, to watch how people interact in these kind of situations. So I am agreeing with all of us so far.
I'm what you would call a reality scientist.
Yes. Ooh, business cards being printed.
Don't ask me to explain it. Just know that it's important and it's a big deal.
Yeah. Well, we are here. The feeds are currently down for the veto competition. I imagine they will stay down for the duration of this podcast. So finally, we got some good timing for the Saturday roundtable. That's what I was hoping for all season long. But what are you going to do? But we are here. It's Big Brother 22, and it is another week of Cody as the HOH. And I truly mean that in the sense that it's his second HOH, and also in the sense that it's his 8th HOH or whatever. It's truly been Cody's show this season so far, and he won this HOH. It was something along the lines of like some kind of like putting golf HOH where they had like three shots or something, and he like nailed it on his first one, and that was it or something.
Of course he did.
So wasn't it a crapshoot that maybe somebody had a shot or he just happens to be really good at
You know, we tend to call them crapshoots, these carnival games, but they still tend to favor the same kinds of people more often than not in my view, especially because like a putting competition is a little bit different than like a Plinko.
Yeah. I was about to say the same thing. It requires a little bit of hand-eye coordination, which is, some people have more than others. And Cody, who's like, a professional soccer player, would probably have some of that in spades.
Yeah, in the same way that like the, throwing the beer down the table thing, like with Tyler as a bowler, he's going to have a little bit of an edge because he's used to, rolling things down lanes.
Bowls down lanes. Yeah.
He's got a good idea of the force you need and the spatial awareness, I guess. All those fancy words. We are scientists, so we should.
There you go. And so here it is. Cody has won yet another HOH, and he is planning and did put you did put Kevin and David on the block. The plan is for Kevin to go home. The reason being, Cody sees the house basically as it actually is, which is that basically nobody will come after Cody. Nobody will put Cody on the block except for Kevin and Christmas. And Christmas will put him up next to Danny, where he knows he will stay. Kevin might put him up next to Tyler, might put him up next to Enzo. If he's up next to Tyler, he stays. If he's up next to Enzo, he knows he will go. And thus, Kevin has to be the target this week. But if Kevin wins the veto, Christmas, as a potential secondary person who would, at the very least, potentially throw Cody on the block, would be the backup target, or at least the likely backup target, to sit next to David. And Cody would want to send Christmas home here, Chantel.
Oh my God. Like, that's kind of the scenario that I'm hoping for. You know, I've been having this one scenario all season, like maybe this will happen. And so that's kind of what I'm putting my, all my eggs into Kevin's basket here, hoping that he can pull through, because I would just love Christmas to not be so smug anymore and just realize that she's probably going to be taken out sitting beside David. That would just be very satisfying.
Yes. So that's the plan. The veto is happening right now. We believe it is Otev. They're going to incorporate prizes, I guess, somehow into this thing. They've all been terrified that it's going to be the graveyard, how bad do you want it competition from the original All-Stars, where classically Mike Boogie and Dr. Will took all the prizes and helped Janelle win so that Janelle would be safe that week. I don't know why we didn't get this veto for this twist. It makes a lot of sense, and they are terrified of it because it's one of the few vetoes that favors the person who's on the block and gives them a better chance of winning and taking themselves down. But, we're getting Otev. It tends to be one of the better comps, but it's just like, you know, watching them freak out about this potential, like, how bad do you want it comp is making me really want it to be the how bad do you want it comp, Jason.
I think that comp, like, that would be a great comp because it not only is, you know, entertaining for like that day, but it gives you a lot of entertainment throughout the rest of the weeks. Because, you know, you got people like, I will shave my head, I will do whatever, whatever. And it's just, it would be kind of cool to like to see lasting consequences to that one competition. But, you know, we'll get Otev, and I guess we're assuming it's Dr. Will as the voice of Otev or something like that. That's what I assume.
That would be my guess.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Did Kevin play in Otev in his season? Like, was that around that competition back then? I can't remember.
I'm sure it was around. Otev happened early, didn't it? Because Casey was still there, right? Or am I going crazy there?
I don't remember.
They're telling me he did in the chat here. When did Otev happen, though? It was day 49. Okay, so it wasn't that early. Casey was definitely not there. Casey was the voice. That's why I'm thinking of Casey. Okay. That I was like, I swear Casey was there for Otev. I don't know why. Casey in a banana suit for some reason is striking a chord with me. So apparently Kevin did play in the original Otev. I believe that we know that Tyler, so the players that were picked, Nicole, Tyler and Enzo. Yeah. And so they're going to be competing alongside Cody, Kevin, and David. Now, Tyler did win Otev in his season. Is this the one that
Didn't Rockstar Enzo mess it up?
Well, yes, yeah, Rockstar yeah. screwed
oh,
up.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I remember being very, very upset.
Golly, like, I can't remember being as mad as I was at that point in that season when that happened.
Yes. And I believe that Enzo also won Otev in his season. So two previous Otev winners, one Otev loser in Kevin. And then I don't know how Cody all of them have been in seasons that had Otev, but maybe not all of them have competed because it's
I think Nicole has played in both
She must
times.
Have after
I think she played in both of them.
Yeah. So she's a loser as well. Loser of OTEV. Losing OTEV is typically a good thing because no winner of OTEV has ever gone on to win the game. I wonder if that applies to the season after. I wonder if, like, now that Tyler won OTEV in his original season, he's still ineligible to win the game because he still has an OTEV in his record.
I mean, that could be a good game theory here. I don't want him to win. I don't want the same people to win over and over again as we all. I just want something to change. I want their plans to be foiled a little bit. I just want something just a little bit different to happen. And, you know, I think it's only with Kevin winning that we're going to get anything remotely interesting and different happening going forward.
Yeah, I mean, the most entertaining week we've had is like when things got changed up, when, you know, they couldn't get rid of one of the, you know, one of the black people. So they had to turn on one of their own. It's like, and even that still was so easy for them because Ian wasn't like technically part of their plan. Like, but it was still entertaining because we got the lie.
So what we're looking at here, if Kevin does win the veto, he will obviously take himself down. Christmas will go up as the replacement. Now, Cody basically has said a few things regarding like what he will want to happen if Christmas goes up. That basically he wants to see how she reacts. Like if she's going to start to vent to Nicole about like, how dare Cody do this? This is all the blah, blah, blah. Then that's going to give him extra incentive to send her home that week. But he kind of feels like he'll want to do it anyway. He really does not want to send David home. And David, for as you know, much as he kind of screwed up his relationship with Cody in the early part of the game, has done a decent enough job throughout the rest of the season, talking to Cody, making Cody feel like he's comfortable enough with him that Cody really doesn't want David to go. Cody really feels like David would not come for Cody. And this is important because David has been coming for Cody. Like, David has been talking about nominating Cody for about a month now. And this is like the one blind spot that Cody has in the game that he has not seen that yet. And David has done a much better job at hiding it and covering it up than Kevin has, especially this week.
Well, I think that nobody really thinks that David is actually doing anything or knows how to play the game, or he'd make up these lies, and he just doesn't seem that he could actually make something happen. So even if maybe Cody heard this, I don't even think they would believe that he'd be able to follow through with it. So it's like kind of like an empty threat, even if he had that information.
I think the interesting thing about David now is that people are starting to realize he's now a piece to be picked up. Like, you know, you got now Christmas and Cody are kind of like fighting over who's going to get David because Tyler kind of dropped him because he was frustrated with him, which, you know, you can understand. But at the same time, so people are now like looking at David as like, I think I could probably get him. He switched from like just an easy target to get out to somebody that now we can use.
Yeah. I do think that David is probably not looking at, I really don't know who David would target at this point. I think he's kind of gotten the inclination that, that Memphis was lying to him last week, that he potentially was in danger last week. So he may still go back after Memphis. He's definitely, against Danny and Nicole to a degree. So, there's a decent, chance he doesn't end up going after Cody now. But I do think it's just interesting that David is the one that has been able to keep it quiet enough that I think in a way, because Davon didn't trust him so much and Davon was after Cody, by that sort of implies that surely David wasn't also after Cody, because yeah. Otherwise, why wouldn't she trust him?
Why wouldn't she trust him is kind of the question of the season. Like, just do it. Just trust him. He's on your side enough, you know, enough.
Yes, I mean, you often make reads in the house based on rational action, that like, well, if this person feels this way, then they would do this. And if they felt this way, then this must be the case over here. But sometimes, and I think that's a good way to look at the game because most of the time it's right, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes there's just a little bit extra there and somebody took a wrong turn and it leads to a whole new branch of, you know, options that just don't exist in reality.
It's kind of hard when not everyone is acting rationally.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, at the moment, a lot of people are looking at trying to bring David in. Tyler's trying to pick him back up. Christmas is trying to pick David up. Cody's trying to pick David up. Enzo is trying to pick him up. Memphis is trying to pretend he doesn't hate him. You know, a lot of people looking at taking David in. Now, my worry for David is that there's a triple eviction looming, that a lot of people have planned for a double eviction. They know that it's going to be either Danny, maybe Christmas, maybe Tyler, but definitely just one of those people so far. And if they get one of those people and then the same side gets power again, they're not going to know where to turn. And David's going to be an easy, just kind of like, David, I haven't planned out the next move yet. So sorry, you're still the least valuable, you know, person in my plans at this point. So I'm just going to throw you up so I don't screw something up without thinking about it first. And that's my worry here for David, Jason.
Yeah, it's easy when everything's in chaos to turn to the easiest solution. It's like, well, we all wanted David out in the first place. Let's just do this now and get it over with. But if you let's say he wins the second HOH and tries to make like really quick, you know, relationships really fast, that could work in his favor for solidifying like a Cody or a Christmas or something like that, and keep himself in the game for a little longer.
That could be a very interesting scenario. I would like to see that happen, just to see like who would he put up. I guess it would be like a similar to maybe BB Can, where they put up three people and they poked someone to stay save. It could be interesting because he doesn't really have these, you know, a solid alliance with these people. So anybody really could go up, and it'd be the best time for him to take a really big, big swing.
You're like giving a child the nuclear codes. Like, what's going to happen here?
Yeah, I mean, my concern there is that, like, if David wins one of the triple HOHs, assuming it's just, you know, assuming there are two different ones, or even if it is just one, like, yes, he can sort of take out a piece, but it's kind of, especially if it's just one eviction, like, it's kind of like a surgical strike. Like, you know, typically when an underdog wins HOH, they have now a whole week to gather information, to like, sort of bask in the power, I guess, in the sense that like people see them as powerful and worthy in the game and worth respect, and like somebody that they have to go and talk to. They can use that time to develop relationships, gather information, and reshape the house in just a small way with the power that they have. And if you win during a double like this, then, or a triple where it's a double double or whatever, then yet like you can, okay, maybe like throw up, you know, even if he did the best thing possible, he throws up Cody and Enzo, Cody goes home in the triple eviction. It's like, it happened so fast that the rest of the alliance is going to be like, oh wow, what just happened? It just all happened so fast. Let's just huddle back together, because that was crazy. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you had a whole week to put up Cody versus Enzo, and they have to campaign and they have to like expose the secrets of the inner workings of how things work, and people get a hint of where they are in the hierarchy, and so on and so forth, I feel like it's much more effective. And that's where I'd rather see David take a win here.
No, of course. Like, you definitely want to see the power restructure and just see people gaining information and knowledge and being able to start steering their path a little bit better. But I guess since the season's been so stagnant, that I just want to see just movement happen and something that's completely different. And so that's kind of where I'm fluctuating between of like, oh, I just want something to happen. Whether, you know, it would be better for David to have a full week to be able to just really change his fate in the game, for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's assume that Kevin wins the veto here. He takes himself down. Christmas goes on the block. Cody is looking at now the votes. He will have Danny, because Danny wants Christmas out. He'll have Kevin, who will want to keep David. He'll have Nicole, who he convinced to vote Christmas out, much to her chagrin.
That's for the major evo.
Yes. It's like, hey, if you want to keep your people safe, win something.
He had a great point there, like a fantastic point.
I mean, it is. I mean, it's really been the story of the season, is that like the committee was not a real alliance until they all won like two HOHs a piece, at which point it's like, well, I guess it's a thing now. So I guess we're just going to have to continue for now. And that's how this sort of like play style works, is that you follow the power. And when you are able to consolidate the power in one in one place, those are the people that get to structure the game in their favor. And Nicole is the one person in the committee that hasn't won anything. And that's why all of her pieces are falling off the board.
100%. Like, she has to really understand that. Like, people are not going to try to keep her game to be perfect because she's in this alliance with them. Like, they are making moves for them to better themselves further in the game. And unfortunately, because she hasn't had any direct power, that she can't be angling it towards her benefit. So it's pretty obvious to me, but
that's what kind of confused me about both her and Danny. Like, both of them were like, can you, like, when Ian was up, like, can you please just save Ian? Like, why? So you can have ammunition against me later? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, and same thing with Danny trying to save Devon last week. It's like, why would I let you have weapons against me?
Yeah. So he would have Kevin, Danny, Nicole. Those are three votes to evict Christmas. He'd also have Enzo. That would be four. Four out of six is enough to solve it there. The problem, though, is that Memphis and Tyler are not going to be as on board. Now, Tyler has no hint yet that this could be coming, and he has not been doing much work. I don't know for sure what Tyler would do in this spot, if he would willingly let Christmas go, or if he would fight hard to try to keep her, even when it seems like it might be a losing battle. Memphis, however, has already started to campaign to keep Christmas on the off chance that the veto is won by Kevin and Christmas goes on the block. Memphis has kind of intuited that in that scenario, people might want David to stay over Christmas, and he's relying on Enzo to make sure that they have the votes to keep Christmas, Enzo being the main person pushing for the Christmas back door. So this is going to be a little bit complicated because Enzo will have to burn his spot with Memphis in the Wise Guys Alliance, at least one of them, in order to vote Christmas out. Enzo has already suggested maybe I blame the flip on Tyler, but it's gonna be tricky regardless. And I'm really not sure what will happen if Christmas lands on the block and how things might shift because of it. Cody was mentioning that they're talking about going into this potential double, or at least next week, and talking about what people might do. But he understands that if they'd make this move on Christmas, everything might shake up and people might be going after different people because of how it shakes up. So there's a lot of complications here, Chantal.
Well, I think, though, if, you know, if Memphis really fights hard to keep Christmas, I think that that actually might blow up his own game, to see that he's willing to not be working with the committee. I know she's part of the committee, but like not willing to let her go that easily, I think might be problematic moving forward, especially since Tyler, Enzo, and who's the other person I'm forgetting right now, Cody, are working together. So I think it might be better for Memphis just to like maybe plant the seeds now, but if it becomes an actuality, to let it go. I don't think
that's what's kind of lost Danny and Nicole to the rest of the committee, was pushing too hard for something. It's just like, you know, this is what's happening, so let it go. Like, because you don't want us to think that you're not on board for what we're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky spot because obviously in this position, you know, for Memphis, it's Christmas, who he has a final two and a final three with, maybe one of the few people he can beat in the final two, versus David, who he's had a rivalry with all season long, who will definitely be coming for him. And if Cody tries to strong arm him into keeping David and losing Christmas, that really puts Memphis in a much worse position for his end game. And I have to imagine that he's going to fight back pretty hard. Because if this happens, I think he'll have to reconsider his whole end game. He can't just fall back on like, okay, well, I guess now my only final three is with Cody and Enzo. I'm going to have to rely on them, who just forced me into a spot here with Christmas. I have a feeling that Memphis will start to reach out to other people, especially if Tyler is also very wanting to keep Christmas. I feel like there's a chance that Memphis and Tyler might link up via their shared bond of trying to keep Christmas around. And that might be a position forward for the two of them. But it could get very messy here, Jason.
Yeah, but who, like, if he goes with Tyler, like, who else do they have? They don't have anyone else. Like, they might have, you know, Kevin and David. But they're still tenuous. Like, they still have Cody for David and Kevin. They might be able to pick up Kevin, but who knows? They might not have any weapons left. They might rely on having to win those HOHs.
I think what they would probably do, if I'm Memphis, right?
Get grumpy.
I'm feeling very grumpy.
Yeah.
Feeling very, my back is very straight. Don't want to injure it. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
You know what I'm saying?
It doesn't even matter. All right. I'm thinking that if I'm pushing to keep Christmas and it seems like it's not going to happen, I'm going to pretend to give in because I know I'm not going to win. And I'm going to secretly make something with Tyler where I say, look, these guys have made a final three with me, blah, blah, blah. But now they're forcing Christmas out because they're trying to force me into a position. You're basically all I have left. I know you were working with Christmas. I think we're all each other have at this point. We should both continue to work, to pretend to work with Cody and Enzo. But we should still try to push them toward targeting Danny to keep the heat off of ourselves for now. They still have Kevin to deal with. And let's, you know, do our best to keep David off of our backs as well. But the first chance we get, let's take the shot at Cody and Enzo because we need to do something. That would be my... If I'm Memphis and I'm pushed into that corner, that's going to be my response.
What if, though, that they don't actually tell Memphis, you know, fully what's going on, what their plans are, and they kind of entertain the idea of him, of them all voting out David in that scenario, and then just kind of blindside him in the end? I think that that could be a way that he wouldn't really be able to retaliate and really wouldn't be able to, you know, get Tyler in on the plan and stuff like that. So
especially maybe, going into a triple, yeah.
Could be.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where like Enzo's plan is kind of probably the one to go with, where they basically do to Memphis exactly what they did to Day and Kevin, where they tell Memphis, like, yeah, if it goes to a tie, I'll obviously break the tie to keep Christmas. So don't worry about it. But, you know, because it probably will go to a tie. Danny, Nicole and Kevin will all vote to keep David. But don't worry, it goes to a tie. I'm going to break the tie in Christmas's favor. And then, Enzo votes the other way. And Enzo goes, oh my God, Tyler screwed us. Tyler screwed us. He's working. Obviously, I would never betray the wise guys, yo. That's it. It's got to be Tyler. And you just kind of keep that, you know, layer of confusion. It kind of prevents, it gives them just a little bit of doubt is enough to prevent people usually from moving forward with confidence into a new position, because they're like, where do I go from here? Do I believe? And if they're concentrating on like, do I believe Enzo? Do I believe Tyler? Then they're not thinking about what's my next move from here. So, I mean, Enzo has already kind of hinted toward that plan. So it is possible that we see it, assuming again, we're talking about this like one-off scenario where Kevin wins the veto.
I would love that. I mean, if the same thing happened to Memphis happened today, I'd just be sitting at home on my couch just sipping my tea like, oh yeah. Yeah, that's right. How's it feel?
Yeah, now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here, we were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see. You know, if Kevin doesn't win the veto, I think we're in for a very straightforward week, that Kevin will just straight up be going home. So, you know, there's always this is what we've got to talk about at this point.
This is what we do.
Yeah. If for some reason, if David wins the veto, Christmas will still go up on the block. I still feel like there's a chance that Christmas might go, especially if she handles it poorly. This is a week about, like, Cody is in a position where He doesn't have to send anyone home. So it's all about, you know, who is most beneficial for him to send home in the moment. And that opens the door for somebody like Christmas to screw up and say the wrong thing to Nicole or say the wrong thing to Cody, and get into an altercation with Cody like Kevin did. Maybe one, maybe a worse one. And that could easily convince Cody that Christmas needs to go, and he could try to make some kind of deal with Kevin that includes David and say, look, we're, I'm taking the shot now. I'm ready to send Christmas out the door. I'm ready to break up this group. I need your backup to help me do it. And you know, Memphis is going to be pissed. Tyler's going to be pissed. Like, this is the moment you've been waiting for. I could see that happening. I do think it's a little bit less likely to happen given the current tension between Cody and Kevin. But I still feel like it is a possibility at the very least.
Well, you know, Danny's going to be in there like real quick when Christmas goes up. She's going to be like, you know, you got to get her out now. Like,
But why did Kevin handle being potentially nominated so poorly? I mean, you know, if it's going to be a major possibility, you would think that you'd be trying to work with them so you're not the target and not saying things that would make him angry or saying things that would make him like be like, well, I'll just make sure I'm sitting up next to somebody in the end that you'll have to vote for one of us. And so he didn't really make a case for him to be not going up and potentially going home. I just wish that he handled that a little bit better so that this Christmas scenario would follow through if that were the case.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand the position that Kevin is in. This is his fifth time having this conversation. But from like a player standpoint, I'm watching Kevin and I'm just like, no, stop. this is not the week to do it. All you could have done this in previous weeks and maybe gotten away with it. This is the week where you needed to be perfect because this is the week where you're really in danger. And this is the week where he couldn't take it anymore. I really don't like the argument of I am going to not vote for you in the final two if you're the person that sends me home. I don't think it's an effective argument. It's never in the history of Big Brother ever convinced anybody to not vote that person out. In fact, it usually just gets the person more dedicated to getting them out because it's basically a threat. Like you're not allowed to do this to me or I will retaliate against you in a way that kind of goes against the quote unquote spirit of the game. And people are like, because you have to look at it from the perspective of the person being threatened. Like, okay, what am I supposed to do then? Like,
so I'm gonna take you to final two now? Like, that's what I have to do.
Like, okay, so I need to bring you to the final two or I don't get your vote. Like, I know you're coming after me. I'm supposed to just not go after you and let you come after me. And we just don't vote for each other in the, like, where does this go? It's a closed loop. There's no out here. This is not a beneficial arrangement for either player. So I really don't think these arguments are effective in any way. And in fact, they tend to, I think, help the person get to the end. 'Cause now they say, huh, guess who's not voting for me in the end? Take me. I really just like advice to future players would be don't threaten your jury vote unless you're deliberately trying to put a target on people's backs in the sense that you should say, I am voting for Cody if he makes it to the final two. He's so good. So don't let him get there.
Or even if you're like, you say to Cody, like, let's say like, hey, Cody, if you make it there with a Tyler, Tyler's definitely getting my vote. If anyone gets there with Tyler, like try to shift the target onto someone else using that type of strategy. Don't just say, I'm not going to vote for you. I don't care who's sitting next to you. I'm not going to vote for you.
Exactly. That's kind of the strategy that Ian tried to implement during his campaign where he was like, Tyler's really good at this. You're really going to let Tyler get himself out of this. Really trying to hype Tyler up. That's a better way of going about it. Ian was unfortunately in a position where like he didn't even realize the people he was supposed to campaign to. But that's sort of the way to go about it. Like right now, because Kevin's saying that he's not going to vote for Cody in the final two is just giving Cody more incentive to take him out. But he's also talking to people like Enzo and Danny, and he's complaining to them about Cody and basically saying that he's screwing up his jury votes. And I get, again, it's he's venting to these people right now. And he really needed to vent. But he's venting to Enzo, who is like,
perfect. I'll bring him.
Awesome. Yes, I'm definitely taking Cody to the final two. And he's venting to Danny, who's like, awesome. I'm definitely taking Cody to the final two. I'm gonna trash this guy. And it's not providing incentive for them to change up their current game strategy. So that's what I'm looking for here.
You definitely want to look like the better option to stay. Like, that should be your tactic no matter what. Like, why either David or Christmas? It's going to be worse for your game if they were to stay in it and better if I do. And so I don't know why he hasn't figured out yet that that's kind of the strategy that you want to have with these HOHs, that you just want them to need you or want to work with you moving forward, and even if it's in some small capacity.
Right, I think it's about him being an aggressive. I think he just needs to be aggressive in the right way and make the right argument aggressively, which he hasn't been aggressive at all throughout any of the rest of the game. But I think he just got fed up with, you know, he probably looked around him every week and said, okay, Day is a much bigger target than me. You know, Ian's a bigger target than me, or whoever was a bigger target than him. And he looks around now. He's like, I have David next to me who's, you know, going to stay. Maybe I just need to go hard into the paint and try and change his mind.
Yeah, I think another issue with this particular strategy is that Kevin has made this threat already to other people. and Day has already now made this threat to multiple people. So it's like you can't not vote for us all. Like, what? Like, what are you going
to
do?
It's like, we'll just get rid of you all and you'll have to vote for one of us. Suckers.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's kind of where we're at here. Again, a lot is going to ride on this veto. But let's assume that Kevin does not win the veto. Let's assume that everything stays the same. Kevin goes home. We head into the triple eviction. Again, let's assume that that's a double-double. And what I mean by a double-double is that it's not a BB Can-style triple eviction where one HOH wins and nominates three people, two of which go home. Instead, it's two back-to-back HOH reigns within 2 hours where somebody wins, they nominate two people, one of them gets sent home, somebody else wins, nominates two people, one of them gets sent home, end of episode. That's what I mean by a double-double. Assuming that's the case, because it's a two-hour show, then we are looking at a situation where Danny is a big target. Big, big target. We're looking at Tyler, Enzo, Christmas, David, even Memphis could go after Danny in this spot. Basically, like five of the seven competitors in the first HOH of this double-double will probably be aiming at Danny and putting either David or Nicole up next to her. So not looking great.
Not great, Bob.
Well, it's so interesting how things have changed from the very beginning of the season when we were so excited. We're like, oh, the women are stronger this season. Like, it's going to be a female dominated season. Oh my God, it's going to be so awesome. And now I'm sitting at the place where I kind of want the guys just to take out all the women because I just want them to know how poorly they've been playing this game.
The ones left are so messy, like so messy. Like now they've gotten them just after each other again. And it's just like, the men have turned them around so hard, and they've turned themselves around really to kind of just target each other, and it's not great.
Yeah. So Danny is definitely a big target. However, yep. if Danny wins, if Nicole wins, Nicole plans on targeting Memphis at the moment with Tyler as a backup target. Danny would go after Christmas. So those are two targets there, but assuming odds are that Danny is the first to go here. Danny's now out of the running. Cody's back in the running. This is the question. What happens after Danny leaves? Because that's the most likely outcome. Now we're looking at Cody maybe going after Christmas, in this spot, probably putting David up next to her, but I don't know where the votes are from there. So this is now seven people remaining. That means there's four votes. Tyler and Memphis vote to keep Christmas. Nicole and Enzo vote to evict Christmas. Cody breaks the tie, gets rid of Christmas. But that doesn't put Cody in a fantastic spot at the final six, because again, now he's just pissed off Tyler and Memphis, and Enzo has shown his cards, and now it's basically like Cody, Enzo, Nicole, David versus Tyler and Memphis to some degree, but David's obviously going to take a back seat in that. If anything, David should flip on Cody at that point because he's got more numbers. Cody can't compete in the following HOH, so it's really Nicole, Enzo, and David versus Tyler and Memphis in the final six HOH.
So basically, Enzo versus Tyler and Memphis.
So, I mean, that could lead to an interesting scenario there, where we get a bit of a split there in the end game. I think a lot of people like Enzo, Memphis, I think Enzo and Memphis would gun for David, I guess, they'd probably just put David up. I don't think Enzo's going to put Christmas up. I think he'll vote Christmas. I don't know if he puts her up with the final three he has with her. But I don't know who else he puts up at this point. I mean, maybe David and Christmas again. Maybe he has to break a tie at that point. Like it could really go a bunch of different ways. Tyler's going to go, I think, for Nicole at that spot. David might just gun for Cody there all of a sudden. he might go for Nicole. Memphis is probably going to go for David. And any one of these people could, again, just panic and go for David if that's like, because they don't know what else to do in the moment. So if Danny does go in the first bit of the triple, we might see a little bit of action there in the second bit, but I would still personally prefer that we had more time with that action. But what are you gonna do?
I mean, they might, since they have a two-hour episode, at least then maybe they'll have a little bit of, you know, game strategy talk in between each competition, so that's a possibility, a little bit of action.
I mean, it would be fun.
Here was a thought that I had for the triple, like, and stay with me here. Like, I was thinking maybe like in between the two, like someone gets evicted first, probably Kevin or Christmas. What if in that next block there with the HOH veto, we do like a blind type of setup? Whereas let's say they're all sequestered in different rooms and maybe there's a puzzle there that they all have to solve. No one knows who's doing what. No one knows who wins HOH. No one knows who does any of that. We also have a veto competition they can do in the room, whatever else it might be. No one knows who wins veto. We still have the veto meetings where they all get together and do all that stuff. But unless someone tells them, they don't know who's HOH. They don't know who's won veto. They don't know any of that. I thought that would be interesting, a nice little twist to kind of differentiate things. What do you guys think about that?
And then you can kind of see everybody's thought process kind of in their room by themselves as to like, okay, well, if this person wins, or like they hear who the nominees are, they're like, okay, well, if that person's nominated, we will be able to tell, like, okay, it must be Memphis that won this head of household. And so like they can maybe start talking out loud as to what the strategy is, to how they make their decisions.
And for this specific season, it would be good for like the committee to strike against one of their own without maybe getting the blood on their hands.
Yeah, so basically like an anonymous HOH, I'm assuming they would be allowed to play in the following HOH as well, because then otherwise it would give up their spot.
They would tip off who it is, yeah.
It would be pretty powerful to win that one for sure. Might be a little imbalanced there, but it could lead to some interesting things. They've done something similar on The Circle where they've done like an anonymous influencer who they don't have to reveal themselves as they basically eliminate a player. But it could be interesting. I think there are different ways to think through that nothing immediately comes to mind that I think like totally ruins that in terms of balance.
I thought it'd be interesting because, you know, they're going to have to make another whole competition set up in the backyard, so maybe they have to do something inside the house, you know, to kind of shorten the time.
I think that's what we have for you talking about the week so far. it's a relatively straightforward one. Things are about to get messy, but they're not quite messy yet. Are you guys ready? Should we talk about the Legacy Watch?
The Legacy Watch, let's do it. Yes.
Let's talk about the Legacy Watch. All right, let's bring it up here. This is what we have. This is where we left off last week with Janelle in the Pantheon, Kacer, Tyler, and Enzo in the top tier, Cody, Ian, Nicole, Franzel, and Devon in the upper tier, Danny, Memphis, Keisha, and Bailey in the middle tier, Kevin, Christmas, and Nicole Anthony in the low tier, and then David hanging out there in the bottom tier. Any major predictions here for this week?
Maybe David moves up one notch for the fact that he is being used as a piece potentially with Tyler or with Cody. So he's not the target specifically for everyone. He might still be the perpetual pawn, but nobody's really after him going out. And so he's positioned himself a little bit better moving forward. So he might move up a little bit.
I'm going to say Danny moves down one. Avon moves up one.
All right. Well, I can tell you that David has, in fact, moved up to the low tier. At the bottom of the low tier, he barely made it, but he's there. He has escaped the bottom tier. No longer a bottom tier legacy for David.
Well, I think it's also because he's actually been playing the game a little bit longer, and he is figuring some more things out. He's not as, you know, blindly not knowing what's happening. I mean, the fact that he doesn't know what OTEV is going to be, and he has no idea about that part of the game, that kind of is unfortunate. But he's learning a little bit, and he's kind of understanding how the game is played a little bit better. So I think that's why people are respecting that a little bit more.
Yeah. Interesting there for David to move. David was like as low as it goes, like 5 weeks ago. And he has made it back into the low tier. I think, you know, being falsely accused of something tends to win you a lot of, you know, sympathy points, I think.
Yes. Unfortunately, that the way all last week went down was, it hurt my heart. I was just like, I know that he doesn't want her to feel bad and feel badly towards him. And so, yeah, I can see how the audience might be trying to support David here, especially because he was telling the truth in the situation, and he was kind of wrongly targeted by Davon and indirectly by Danny and Nicole.
Yeah, I think it's also memorable. Like when people think about Big Brother 22, they're probably going to think about David being wrongfully accused here. They'll also probably think about David going up to people saying, "Did you save me?"
I'll say this about David. He's definitely given us a lot of entertainment on the season. I think without him, it would have been a lot more boring. So I think that helps him as well.
Exactly.
It's the wrong entertainment for him, for his game, but yeah, it helps us at home.
David, the character, I think, has definitely developed and gained some steam here. So not super surprised to see some movement upwards for David. Nicole Anthony is going to continue to chill here in the spot where she was before. No real movement there for Nicole Anthony. She's still clinging to the bottom of the low tier, though, as she is just barely above David, who has barely made it in. No, nothing major to go off of there. Above Nicole is still Christmas, who's hanging out here in the low tier. No real movement for Christmas either. I think Christmas had a pretty decent week last week. Her move to pick up David was actually pretty good. However, this week she's starting to look like she might be in a little bit of trouble here if the wrong person wins the veto. And I think Christmas is somebody that, like, the jury is not out on Christmas as a character. When it comes to Christmas's legacy as a character, people already know what they're getting. And so I think her status here on the Legacy Watch is highly dependent on how well she does as a player.
And I don't really see her maybe changing that, because it seems like she just is like a yes man. I'm like, she'll stay with her team, she'll be loyal to her team, but I don't see her steering the ship at all. And so I think that it's going to be difficult for her to change, like, our minds as to how she is as a player, unless she starts making moves that are not dictated by somebody else.
I think part of the reason she's in that tier is her propensity to kind of unravel a little bit. So I think that's, unless she does something, you know, great, she'll probably stay there.
Yeah. All right. Well, above Christmas is still Kevin Campbell there in the low tier. No real movement there for Kevin either, as he's going to maintain his spot. I think that this is probably where Kevin will just finish out his season here in the low tier. Definitely a big fall from grace for Kevin, who started the season in the upper tier. And if he loses this veto and gets sent home, I think this is where he stays. However, if he wins this veto and forces Christmas out of the game, I think there's still some room for upward trajectory here for Kevin as he becomes this kind of like underdog figure. And then if he somehow then also managed to survive the triple eviction and now he's in the final six, I think we could see theoretically, if Kevin is still here this time next week, I'm expecting a big boost in the Legacy Watch personally. If he's not still in the game, I'm expecting him to settle in right about where he is.
Yeah, people need to get some power and use it to their advantage. And that's how people are going to be able to move their placement, unless they already have a standing legacy, kind of like the Janelles and the Casers. Like they've already proven what they can do as a player. I think these people aren't proving them. Like, we don't know how they're going to play in a game. They're just all reactionary. They're not making any moves for themselves. And so unless we see him do something like win some power, take somebody out, like directs his own fate, I think, yeah, that's why he's going to sit there most likely.
I think get power and use it responsibly will be his key when using it the right way. If he gets power and guns for someone that's actually willing to work with him, that would, and I'm not putting that out of the realm of possibility. He can definitely do
that.
He
somehow takes out David.
Don't start with me. No, I mean, he probably will, but no.
This is for you, Davon. I know the wall you ever lied. Oh boy. All right. Well, above Kevin, we have Bailey, who's still hanging out here at the bottom of the middle tier. Again, no real movement there for Bailey as she continues to be locked in where she is, followed by Keisha, who is going to stay above Bailey as well. Keisha also staying put. People, once they're out of the game, the people have been pretty locked in terms of their position. I'm interested to see how that changes with the jury as we get jury segments. Above Keisha, Jason was also right here. Danny is going to take a fall below Memphis as she continues. I don't think there's been a single week in the Legacy Watch that Danny has not fallen to some degree. She started in the top tier, third place overall in the entire cast, and now she is continuing to fall. Now the seventh place over, seventh to last, I should say, which would be what, ninth place? I don't know. There she is there in the middle tier below Memphis now.
Yeah, her she made a big, way bigger target of herself this past week, so I think that's pretty fitting of taking a fall there.
One, especially with this like evil genius kind of edit that she's been getting, it's, yeah, maybe it's telling a different, like a story or whatever, and they're trying to create this character within Danny, but it's not very likable and it doesn't seem like it's doing well for her game. So I don't think that people are respecting this like evil genius, because she's not actually being a genius here, you know, she's just kind of being evil.
Yeah, I think taking credit for things that she didn't actually do, which is like, no one likes that.
Yeah, this is one where I think like people have been disappointed in the sort of the character of Danny this season so far. And they have definitely been also disappointed in the gameplay for Danny so far. And it has not been working out. Look, the reason Danny became so popular is because she did what was bad for her game and sided with the people that people liked. This season, she's doing what is ostensibly good for her game and sticking with the people that the audience doesn't like, except she's also doing a bad job of it and will probably not reap the rewards. And so it's really worst case scenario on all fronts for Danny this season.
I know, if she just had worked with Janelle like we were praying that she would, she would probably have elevated her status. Just like, even if she didn't do well, like just having that force working together and making decisions, I think that would have, you know, gained some favor with the audience.
Here's this for a theory. I think if Danny sides with Janelle in the early game, first of all, she had the power to bring Janelle into the main alliance. Like Cody wanted to work with Janelle. Danny was the one that was like, no, you can't. She's against you. And so Janelle's probably a part of the alliance. So who knows what happens there. But let's assume that she didn't have that power. Let's assume she had to choose between the Cody group and the Janelle group. I think if she chooses Janelle's group and goes out pre-jury, we may be seeing a pantheon placement for Danny.
Exactly.
She would have gone out of underdog, and we love our underdogs.
She was only 5 points out of, you know, there are 10 points in each tier. She was only 5 points below Janelle in the preseason. She is now, where's Danny? There she is. She's now 25 Ooh, points wow. below Janelle. So she dropped 20 points below Janelle from preseason to now. That has been a rough fall here for Danny.
Especially since her major goal is to like dethrone the queen, and so it's very much backfired. Like it's like completely the opposite of having that happen. She's not being as esteemed as Janelle is, and probably always will be at this point. She definitely played this wrong if that was what her intention was.
Yeah. All right. Well, above Danny is Memphis. There he is here toward the top of the middle tier. Again, no real movement here for Memphis overall. He did move up a little bit. We've definitely had time for the wise guys to sink in. It seems like that has not done too much for Memphis's legacy thus far. And he's going to maintain his position here for the most part in the middle tier. It's more that Danny moved down than he moved up. But I think that Memphis seems not terribly positioned to potentially win this game, especially with people like Kevin and David, two of the people you'd think would be the most anti-David, talking about how, or sorry, anti-Memphis, talking about how, well, at least Memphis is straight up. That we respect. I'm like, Memphis has a real chance to win this jury vote. And a lot of people think he has no chance.
Well, and a lot of people are probably going to take him to the end because they think that he's not going to have any jury votes because he's not very likable. But yeah, like he definitely could be taken to the end with people thinking that they could beat him and he might be able to sneak out a win there.
What are the odds are he gets to like the final two? And like his jury speech is this thing that turns everybody off because he's just so grumpy and so like mean to everybody.
He kind of puts it on sometimes, though. He kind of is a little bit nicer these last few days, like just a little bit. So that could go a long way.
Imagine if he had a jury speech that went something along the lines of, look, this is reality television. And if you had a problem with what happened this season, you probably have a problem with reality. That would probably lose him some votes, right?
I don't know if it would work with him. He doesn't have
I created the white guys. I'm sorry. The wise guys is what I meant to say. I'm sorry. I mean, but he did create the committee. And I think that, you know, is something in his favor, like that he can speak to his other committee members on the jury and be like, I brought us all together. I got us all this far. I think that could work well for him.
Actually, that's really true, because we weren't really taking that alliance seriously when it first happened until he won his head of household. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, we see Julie talking about it to everybody that's being evicted. And we're like, it's not a real alliance, but it actually manifested into a real alliance that he could say that I was the one that started this. I was the one that, you know, brought us together, like you're saying, Jason. So, you know, he could definitely use that as a lot of leverage with getting people to side with him in the end.
It also depends on how he gets his fellow committee members to the jury, I think, as well, would be important.
Yeah. Speaking of Dr. Will, he recently gave an interview where I believe he said that I am the kind of person, speaking about me personally, that the people who are able to enjoy this season are typically the people who rollick through life. So I think going to add that to my bio, that I rollick through life, that Dr. Will says so. And there you go.
Well, he also said that those that aren't enjoying it are self-loathing. So
yeah,
I guess, I'm self-loathing. I don't know.
Is he saying that he's been enjoying the season?
This is the statement. Some appreciate Big Brother and value the content provided, while others are unbelievably angry and want to shame players in the show. It's my contention that the way a fan perceives the show is ultimately a reflection of how he or she views himself or herself. A fan who enjoys it is typically a person who rollicks through life, and a fan who is enraged by it are often pretty miserable with a lot of self-loathing. All I care about is that they are entertained, but it does raise a question. If you hate the show, and you hate the house guests, and you hate Julie Chen, and you hate the producers, and you hate the live feeds, and you hate the games, and you hate me, well, why are you watching? Might be time to put down the remote control, delete your Twitter account, and try some meditation. It's just a reality TV show, people.
I hope it gets better.
Like, I love Dr. Will, and I know he says things just to get people riled up, we'll say, but I totally don't agree with that at all. You know, I think that we want to experience it the way that we have when we fell in love with the game. And so in his seasons, like how he played, we enjoyed that as gameplay. And we just haven't been enjoying the way that the gameplay has been going in these last few seasons. But we come back to watch because we are hoping that it'll be exciting like it was when we first got hooked. And so it's kind of like we're chasing the dragon here. So we're addicts. We're addicted to Big Brother, even if it's not good for us. Even if it's not going the way that we want to go, we need to hope. We're hoping that we can get our fix. That's how I feel.
Well, I mean, this is very similar to his Final Two speech in Big Brother 2.
Right?
So.
Hate everyone.
Yeah. It kind of sounded like the Memphis speech you were pitching there, Taryn.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say, yo.
That's what I'm trying to say, yo. That's it.
Yeah. All right. That's like, I feel like that's like when I try to tell people that I enjoy the season, I feel like that's what people are expecting me to be saying, that like, screw everyone that doesn't. I'm like, hey, no, you cannot like the season. That's also fine. But they're like, no, you're just like Dr. Will, aren't you? You hate us. All right. So above Memphis on the list here is Devon, who's going to hang around here at the bottom of the upper tier. Devon, who the votes. So here's what happened just there. I don't close the surveys after the weekends. And so when I went back to look at where Devon was, she actually had fallen into the middle tier after the last podcast. But she is back this week in the upper tier, down here at the bottom of the upper tier, but in fact, in the upper tier, pretty solidly in there too. Not clinging on too much. And this is likely where she will stay, as we have seen in the past, that she is going to lock herself in to the upper tier, which is an improvement from where she started the season, just below the upper tier in the middle tier. Not a huge movement upward overall, but just enough to cross her into this upper tier.
After this last week, I kind of expected her and Nicole to kind of switch places, but I guess not.
Yeah, I mean, so? I think it's been it's been a polarizing week for Devon last week. I mean, where like I think a lot of her fans, a lot of the people that love her were like, you know, this was her last hurrah. She had a great final speech on the way out. Like they love what she represents. And like Nicole did her wrong. And then there were some other people that were like, why is she doing this to David? She's being so cruel to him. And she's so wrong about this. Like, we thought Devon was good at reading people, and she is just consistently wrong time and time again. So I feel like, you know, it's kind of been a little back and forth there. A tale of two worlds.
Yeah, I think that's why she's kind of stuck in this position is exactly what you're saying. She didn't. Some people are going to be like, oh, wow, I loved how she kind of went out in the end. It, you know, shows all the things that we love about Devon. She has great diary rooms. Her speech was awesome. You know, we want to be rooting for her. But also people are going to be like, oh, my God, why are you not seeing the truth here? And they might just look at her as a bad player. So, yeah, I totally agree with you that that's just going to level her out, and she's not going to do any better or any worse necessarily. She's just going to stay even keel.
Yeah, and thinking about it some more, it probably has to do with, you know, the people that are already voting for her or still voting for her. She didn't lose anything, but she probably didn't gain much either, because those people were going to vote for her either way. And, you know, if it weren't for her personality and her, you know, social justice stance, you probably would have fallen into the tier under this one. So that makes sense.
Yeah. All right. Well, above Devon is still Nicole Franzel, hanging out there above Devon. It is relatively close. I could definitely see Nicole fall below Devon, especially as Devon is now locked in here. Nicole did not have the greatest week last week, but she did actually rise from last week. Last week, she was actually lower than she is now. I again imagine that it has been a tale of mostly one world, but at least a little bit of another world where, like, the fact that Nicole had Davon snowed so hard gives you a little bit, I think, more respect for her as a player. Although I'm sure there are plenty, I've seen plenty of people talk about how they don't respect the move because they don't think it was necessary and that it was a bad move overall. I hear those people, but I'm saying that I think that perhaps there are some other people that were also impressed by the fact that Davon trusted her so much and that she was able to get away with it. I'm trying to explain the rise in legacy here, and that's why where I would imagine it came from, because I don't know where else it would come from.
Well, I even have an argument with a friend of mine that he, like, not that he likes her gameplay, but she's like, she's so good. And I'm like, okay, fine, she gets what she wants, but I don't like how she does it. Like, and so that's like the argument we're always having. I'm like, oh, stop it. I don't want to watch her gameplay. I don't like it.
She only got there because her Davon's reads were bad. It's just like, even Kevin like was sniffing it out. And the only thing was Davon's read was bad on it. Like, you could watch the show and be like, she's lying right there. Like, so I don't ascribe it as much to Nicole's, like, she's so great at lying, which it doesn't seem like she really is. She likes lying. Well, she doesn't like lying, but she, you know, she does it anyway. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I ascribe that more to Davon not reading it well. But
yeah. All right. Above Nicole, we still have Ian here, where he is, was previously last week. Ian actually did move up a tad from last week. I imagine that, again, I really feel like the way that Ian left the game on the episode really left a good taste in people's mouths. And I think the further we get away from the week that he was in the house, that we saw him on the feeds, the more we're kind of able to kind of be like, we don't need to remember all the details. He left in a very great way. He is lifting back up a little bit from where he was before. Nothing major, but definitely, again, curious to see what the jury segment will do for Ian when we get one.
Yeah, I think if he's bitter in the jury segments and like when people come in, I think he might fall a little bit.
Yeah.
I think he'll have enough time to digest everything and be cool when people come in. And like you say, his classy exit did well for him to keep him where he's at.
Yeah, I think that if I'm talking in terms of legacy here, in terms of how people will view Ian, I think that he is going to need to walk a little bit of a line that he can't be bitter Ian. That's not a good look for Ian. He also can't be like in love with Nicole Ian. Like, he also can't be like, Nicole, oh, Nicole did you wrong? She was playing the game. She got you, Davon. What are you, you can't be mad about it. She's amazing. I think that is also not a good look for Ian. I think people will be upset with him if he does that. I think he needs to walk the line of, wow, I can't believe she did that. Impressive, but wow. And kind of like have that sort of balanced perspective if he wants to, go on the rise here.
Danny and Nicole can't walk in and he run up to them like, I told you you should have done this and this was a blunder and this was bad. Like, he just has to kind of keep it cool.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. above Ian, we have Cody Calafiore still here at the upper tier, toward the top of the upper tier. There's a pretty big gap between Cody and Ian. Cody is knocking on the door of that top tier. He has, in fact, gone up from last week. Not enough to crack the top tier, but he is getting close. I was honestly wondering if he was going to make it this week. I mean, considering how well he has been doing in the game, I think that the rise is still here. He hasn't really moved that much from the preseason. I talked about how Janelle was 5 points above Danny in the preseason. Cody has only gone up 5 points across the entire season, but he has been very steadily sort of getting up there. So I've been saying it all season long, I think if Cody wins this game or comes close, he will probably land somewhere in the top tier. But I think even if he wins, the popularity factor is going to be it's going to make it tough for him to land in the pantheon.
Yeah, I think that he still has room to move up. I think that, he wins a lot of things. He gets to steer, his own faith. within the game. And so I think that he could move up a little bit. I don't think that people respect his game enough to be putting him in like at the top of the top of the top. But I think he can move up one tier for sure.
I think if he survives the triple unscathed, I think that'll do a lot for him because he'll have to have done a lot of movement to get there, I think.
Mm-hmm. All right. Above Cody, we still have Enzo here in the top tier, who's hanging on. It's very he very closely made it. He's still close there. He could very easily fall back into the upper tier, but he is here in the top tier. And this is the difference where I feel like Cody is playing a little bit better than Enzo this season. They're both playing very well, but Enzo has that sort of likability, that sort of popularity edge that kind of puts him already up into the top tier. He's more of a character. He's more memorable as a character. I think people just like him more overall. And that's why we're seeing here Enzo a couple of points above Cody and in the top tier.
I think we need more segments on the show, more catchphrases. I think that will.
That's what I'm trying to say, yo.
Unless he gets some more of that, he might start falling because he's kind of falling off a little bit. We're not getting all that comedy from Enzo we got early in the season, yo.
Well, yeah, I think he's a little bit bored. We talked about this before, you know, with what's going on, and he wants to make some moves. But I personally am enjoying Enzo. Like, I'm not like, you know, shuddering when he's on the screen. Like, I'm like, oh, I want to like see what he's doing. Who's he talking to? What is he saying? Like, I'm engaged in his gameplay and what he's doing within the season. So I think that's why people are keeping him kind of at that upper level, is that he's likable enough for us to want to keep him there and want to see him on our screen. So I don't think he's not
problematic. That's a definite plus. Yeah, I was watching feeds a little earlier and he was having a conversation with Cody and they were both having really good reads on things that were going on and who they were going to go after and all that stuff. So I think Cody and Enzo will kind of be a pair and they'll kind of move together in the tiers there, depending on what happens.
Yeah. If Enzo won this season, I do feel like he'd at least like firmly lock himself into the top tier. I really feel like a lot of these players are going to have a tough time cracking the Pantheon just because people don't like winners of seasons they don't like as much. And so the season quality in general, I think, is going to be a limiting factor on the winner, no matter who it is. That's my theory.
I think that if Tyler wins, he might get in there because I'm actually surprised that Tyler's still in the top tier as it is, because
Tyler's so well liked because the thing is that Tyler has a season that people love and his belts, right? And you know, people have come around to season 12 to a degree, but it was definitely not a popular season at the time. So I don't know if Enzo has as much like backup, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like a lot of the casual viewers really, really love Tyler. Like my brother only watches the show. He doesn't watch the live feeds. He doesn't want to be spoiled. But he's like, I don't even understand why people aren't liking Tyler. He's the best. He's so great. And I'm like, well, you just don't fully know what's been going on behind the scenes. But I can understand why he's likable. He wins things. He gets himself out of these tricky situations a lot of the time. And that's what they're able to see and show. And he's being able to do it time and time again. And so he's kind of like a reliably good player. So I can see him even still moving up a little bit because he's likable. He's reliable in how well he plays the game. And so the casuals know that he's a good player. So he might move up.
Here is my indication of like, because you know I certainly know how enthusiastic some of the Tyler fans are, but I made a tweet poking fun at him plugging the cookbook in his eviction speech, that it was like very like lighthearted poking fun at Tyler, and I got so many replies on Twitter that were like, how dare you,
Tangela for life?
Why are you yelling at Tyler when other people do way worse things in their speeches that he is trying to support his partner in life, and you are going to say that he's a bad person because of it? That you are attacking his character?
Leave Carrot Top alone.
Did you learn a lesson there, Jared?
I just posted a GIF of like Ooh, you just plugged a cookbook.
Oh my God, you must have been shaking in your boots there. People coming with their pitchforks for you, Taryn.
Yeah, so that's why I feel like Tyler has a good chance at Pantheon.
They're very supportive. They're very supportive.
Yeah.
All right. And you know what? Also, Janelle is really supportive of Tyler and his game as well. And so, you know, if she's endorsing him as someone that she respects and enjoys his game, I think that some of her fans might kind of go towards him within the end game of the season. So could move up a little bit too.
Yeah. All right. Well, Tyler is still here in the top tier. He actually moved up a little bit from last week. So he is still recovering from the big drop that he experienced the week he tried to quit the game. He was knocking on the Pantheon, without winning the game before he tried to quit. And then he took a big hit, and he's slowly been climbing back up to that point again. He is still actually below where he was in the preseason, so lower overall than he previously was, but again, he is climbing his way back up. Above Tyler, we still have Kacer here at the top of the top tier. Kacer actually moved up a couple of points this week. I don't know where that came from, but I welcome
social
it.
Media, I think. I'm really digging him on social media and all the things he's been doing outside the house. I think that probably has something to do with it.
Has he been very active? I keep hearing he's like doing Instagram calls with people. Lives. I don't know what they're called. I almost called them FaceTimes.
He was doing live with Janelle. You know, he called up a fake Janelle, and then they got the real Janelle on his Instagram live. That was fun. He was hanging out with Bailey and Swaggy. So he's been doing a lot Keisha outside the house to get his profile up a little bit, I think.
There you go. And then, of course, Janelle is still in the Pantheon. Also a slight rise from the previous week for
Queen stays
Janelle.
Queen.
There it is. And that's the legacy watch for the week. It's looking real weird now. And it's not symmetrical anymore.
It's like a boot. I don't know what it is. Flag? Maybe a kind of like a flag?
Yeah. In a weird way, it's kind of a good thing, I think, for the players. The average seems to be rising a bit as we now have no bottom tier players in the cast. But mostly this week, very stagnant legacy watch. Nothing really changed beyond David moving up a little bit and Danny moving down a bit. Everyone else pretty much stayed the same. No real change this week. I wonder if that's
kind of mirroring the game a little bit. Like,
I guess so.
Nothing really going on.
Another week.
It really does feel like the calm before the storm, both in the legacy watch and the game, as things are about to go down. And I have to imagine that this end game is going to shake up the legacy watch, especially as we approach this triple eviction.
Yeah, we're definitely going to see something shake up, which will be, this is kind of what we've been waiting for. We're just starved for some action here. And so it's definitely going to shake up people's gameplay. Like, they haven't really had to play or play hard anyways. And I'm excited just to see something different. So I'm thankful for the triple eviction for that. But I do wish it was like a full week that we can see this movement happen. So I can really really divulge in it. You know, it's exciting, but you know, we'll take it how we get it.
All right. Well, the feeds are still down for the veto
Darn
competition.
It.
But do we have predictions? Or are we going to go out with a prediction for who do we predict is going to win OTEV and win this veto? Jason, do you have a pick?
I believe it will be Cody. That's what I think. I think if there are prizes involved, I think Tyler might go for the prize, which is why I think he won't win.
All right, Chantel.
I was going to say Cody, but then just to change it up, I'm going to put those eggs in that Kevin's basket and hope that because there's these prizes that are going to be involved, that maybe people will be not going so hard for the veto and that he will just have a chance to be able to win it. Or maybe somebody might throw it to him, you know, like loosely, that he has a better opportunity to win. So I'm going to say that because they kind of want it to shake up anyways, people do want Christmas to kind of go up on the block, that maybe they might allow this to happen. So I'm going to put my eggs in Kevin's basket. Kevin.
All right. I'm with Jason on this one. I feel like
No.
I feel like it's probably Cody. No. So Otev is a weird competition where, I mean, anyone can win, but there's definitely a decent amount of physicality involved. We did almost see Rockstar beat Tyler, a couple of seasons ago. But ultimately Tyler did win. And I think we do normally see a slightly more athletic person win this competition because you're running around, trying to find things, running up slides or whatever. So you do have a bit of an advantage for being athletic. So, you've got Cody, who is probably the most athletic person on the cast, let alone the people playing in the competition. He's also, he was very good at those end game competitions that were pretty mental in Big Brother 16. So I think he's not somebody that would screw up. He tends to perform pretty well under pressure. All of these things combined, he has a strong desire to not have to put Christmas on the block if he doesn't need to. All those things combined, I would probably give the edge to Cody over anyone else. That's why I'm going to make that pick.
Yeah, I think with Tyler not realizing that Christmas is in as much a danger as she is, I don't think he's going to gun that hard for it. I think he probably thinks, I don't know, who does he think will go up if like Kevin or David win the veto? Well, Danny, so maybe?
Memphis and Cody both have really impressed upon Tyler, like, you better win this. like you are not allowed to throw this. We don't really know how these prizes are going to come into effect. I think that typically Otev is done very publicly. They're all there. They're all searching. People have sort of suspected, like, oh, well, what if it's like the sort of like you go out in sixth place, then you get this prize. You go out in fifth place, you get this prize. Maybe not Yankee Swap. Maybe just you get the prize, but maybe also Yankee Swap. Or it could be like you could find prizes or punishments. I don't know how punishments would work, but you could find those things. Maybe certain answers
has a prize attached.
Have punishments attached to them.
Yeah, or like you can the punishment or staying in the game.
Yeah, like you can take this answer, but it has a punishment, or you can try to find one without a punishment, or you could try to find one with a prize attached to it. So you could keep searching if you want. Like, hey, this round, one of the correct answers has $5,000 attached to it, and one of them has you're on slop for 2 weeks attached to it. And so if you find the slop one, it's like, well, I can answer with this and get and move on, or I can look for one that doesn't give me slop. I could see that happening. And that provides a way for you to sort of like privately toss the punishment one without anybody realizing. So I'm literally coming up with this as I talk, but it sounds pretty good to me.
I mean, it's great. I'm like, oh my God, you should start being a game designer here, because I'm like, that'd be awesome. I'd love to see that.
I think if they have the item, like you just have prize on like the plate or whatever they have to bring up, and then Otev like gives them the option, like you can have this prize, which is a all expense paid trip for two to wherever, or you can stay in the game. And if you take the prize, you're out, and the second place person gets to answer the question and stays in the game.
Ooh.
Or the last place person, I guess, would be in this case.
Yeah.
I like it. Right.
Well, it would be really a really public way to show your cards, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's, I believe, what we have for you. It's going to be a short roundtable tonight. But as I said, that especially like sometimes we do have veto results to talk about. I did sort of plan for the show to take place during the veto, but this is like the worst week that could happen during a veto, because there's not a lot to talk about until after the veto. But look, sometimes the timing doesn't work out. But this has been fun. I've enjoyed it. Chantal, any final thoughts? Any last thoughts that you have?
I mean, I love Big Brother. I will always watch, and I always will be really invested in the season. And I am getting a little bit more invested now that all the stuff that was happening pre-jury, all that stuff is kind of like, that's kind of in the past, and we're moving towards at least just seeing pure gameplay. I think that that's what we've all been thriving on, like not having all these really big social issues that we're really having to confront ourselves with. So I'm looking forward to this end game as we move into it, just because it will end up just being pure gameplay, and we don't have to, you know, have our hearts be broken all the time. So I am looking forward to what's to go next with this game that I love. So looking forward to it.
Awesome. Jason, any final thoughts?
I guess I had kind of a question for you guys. Like,
ooh.
I haven't heard you talk a lot about this term, but I don't, you know, you do so much, I might have missed it. You know, with the whole feeds controversy of them keep cutting feeds all the time, like I was watching feeds earlier and it seemed like they just randomly cut it now. Like, just there's some guy hovering his finger over the button. He's just like hitting it. Like, if they did away with feeds altogether, would you guys still watch the show? Or would you not be able to trust it at all?
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't.
I was saying before to some friends when we were talking about this being a thing that I don't think I would enjoy it as much. I've been watching the feeds since season two. Actually, I think even if it had it on season one, I probably did it then too. And so it's part of my Big Brother experience. I like knowing what's going on and making my own choices as to my opinions on how the gameplay is going and whatnot. And I don't really watch the episodes for anything other than the diary rooms and maybe just seeing visually how the competitions play out. And so it's not how I enjoy the show. It's not why I watch the show. And so personally, I don't think I would just maybe listen to updates, but I don't think I'd actually watch the show as much personally.
Yeah. I feel like I would watch a show with the format of Big Brother. I don't know if I would watch the show that these producers produced, the episodes can be good. I really do think that, like, there are some good episodes. I would probably like have it on in the background. I'd still probably keep up with it here and there, but the episodes can also be very boring. Like, I find enjoyment in the live feeds regardless of what kind of game is being played, and I've talked about that before, because I enjoy watching the game play out regardless of who's playing it. But if I can't watch the game, then I'm just watching the personalities, and I don't often care about the personalities. So,
I don't necessarily care about the story that the editors and the producers want to tell. Like, I'm like, oh, that's not the interesting story that's going on here. Like, this is what's interesting. And that's what I'm paying attention to in the feed. So I don't think I would enjoy it as much, but I would probably keep up with it just because it's been part of my life for over 20 years, you know? But yeah, I wouldn't be the same. I wouldn't be such a dedicated fan, I don't think.
Yeah. I mean, what got me thinking about that was the fact that we probably won't ever see, like, Day confronting Nicole about the lie, or because they would have to tell us that a wall yeller is the one that provided this, or they would have to make up a totally fabricated story of Yvonne finding out, like, kind of like how they did in the Thursday episode, like, oh, you just found out that, you know, Nicole was lying about Ian, what's your feeling? Like, no, she'd been new, like, you know, she found out a few days ago. It's just like, so, and they're already skewing it like that. And if they get rid of live feeds altogether, then they're just going to keep doing that constantly. So that just made me kind of think about it. Like, maybe we'll get like a oral history in the future of the wall yeller and how that went down inside the house that we didn't get to see, like, from like Day and Nicole and, you know, all those people.
And I guess it would also wouldn't be really Big Brother. You know, it's always like Big Brother's always watching you, and it's like, it's all the cameras and the live feeds is an element of the show that is what Big Brother is. And so I think that if you take that away, it's, I don't know, I don't know if it's that interesting of a watch without everything else that's going on for me.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what we have for you tonight. I will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 22 live feeds.
That'll be a good one.
We'll see what happens with this veto. You know, well, I'll let you know what if Kevin wins it, it should make for an exciting update. If Kevin doesn't win it, we'll
probably
still
already have hypothesized.
We'll still hang out. It'll just be like it'll be like hanging out socially distanced. You know,
they will talk
like,
about
it's
other
not
things.
The real thing. It's not the stuff you're looking for, but we'll still have fun together.
We'll hit you with some Big Brother, then we'll talk about some other stuff going on.
I feel like the season, we started off with the hypothetically speaking. The whole season has been hypothetically speaking. Yep. If it was to go this way, so you might have another hypothetically speaking episode tomorrow if he doesn't win.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you. You can, of course, find me on Twitter at Armstrong Terran. You can find the surveys there for these podcasts. You can find them on my Twitter there. You can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Terran Armstrong. We'll, of course, be back tomorrow night as well to talk about the HOH and nomination episode of Big Brother 22. Chantel, where can people find you?
On Instagram, you can find me at ShanFranFran. Also, I want to mention that a few of us RHAP podcasters have been asked to participate in at Supermajority. And so we're going to be speaking. It'll be me, Mari Forth, Lita Brillman, and Liana Boris. We'll be talking next Saturday as about women in reality television. And then we'll be using our platform in that moment to get women voters to vote. And so it'll be a text banking session that will be happening after we talk about women in reality television. So that would be something that you guys might be interested in coming and joining us in. So go to at Supermajority and you can sign up and we can be part of this the discussion, if I can talk.
I mean, that's a crew right there.
Yes.
That's a good crew right there. Jason, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at JAYR1085. I don't have anything special going on. Just, you know, if you want to follow me, follow me. I won't clog your timeline, but I won't be quiet either. So I don't know. Nothing fun, but that's where I'm at.
There you go. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. And we'll see you next time.
Bye. Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.